Remember someone is praying for you.
Isn't it always good to know that someone's praying for you? And it may be this pastor praying for you. It may be my wife praying for you. It may be another Christian praying for you. It may be someone. And hopefully, there would be others that could know that you're praying for them. That you're praying for them. And we want to talk about that tonight. Let's take our Bibles and let's look to James chapter 5 and verse 16. That's just where we'll begin, and then we'll look at several other verses. I want to preach to you tonight on kneeling to intercede. Kneeling to intercede. Let's have a word of prayer together. Lord, I ask you, please, to speak to our hearts tonight. I thank you for this book. Thank you for your word. And Father, please teach us tonight. Please speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to be praying for others like they need us to be praying for them. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you about kneeling to intercede, interceding for others in prayer. Interceding in prayer is such an important thing, and we all need someone praying for us. Children need parents interceding for them. Children need parents that are praying for them and interceding to God on their behalf. Pastors need Christians going to the throne of God, interceding and praying for them. Church members all need to have a fellow believer, another Christian, that is kneeling and praying for them. Our government leaders, our prime minister, even our mayors, even the mayor of Toronto, let me tell you something, he needs somebody praying for him. He does. The list could go on and on, but everybody needs someone to be praying for them. Number one tonight, we must kneel in prayer to intercede for others. James chapter 5 and verse number 16. James chapter 5 and verse number 16. You shut that door, BJ. Thank you. James chapter 5 and verse 16. At least the chickens are all well tonight, sounds like. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Amen. The Bible says there, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God tells us in these verses, there's a command there, confess your faults one to another, confess your needs one to another, your struggles one to another, and pray for one another. Pray for one another. God wants us as Christians to pray for one another. God wants us as believers to pray for one another. And I say this, we must kneel in prayer to intercede for others. In Isaiah 59 verse 16 it says, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. He wondered, he was bewildered almost and just almost discouraged by the fact, when you read the passage, the sense of it, that there was no intercessor, no one interceding, no one praying. And it's a sad statement to be living without an intercessor, to be living without anyone interceding for us would be a terrible thing. We all need someone praying for us. Parents could need someone praying for them. Children need someone praying for them. Christians need someone praying for them. We all do. We all need someone praying for us. And we must learn to kneel in prayer to intercede for others. An intercessor is someone who pleads on behalf of another. And an intercessor is someone who pleads on behalf of another. We think of interceding in prayer, intercession in prayer. And we need to plead on behalf of others. We need to plead on behalf of others. Wouldn't we all like to have someone interceding for us in prayer? And that song could be true. Someone is praying for you. Someone is praying for me. Wouldn't it be wonderful to even know that there's many somebodies, even more than one? To know that there's many other Christians and many people in my family, people that are praying for us, praying for me, praying for you. An intercessor is someone who pleads on behalf of another. Number three, an intercessor is someone who goes to the one who has the power to change things. Who do you think that is? That's God. God is the one who has the power to change things. You know, we can look sometimes and maybe be think about a need that a person has in their life and think, boy, I sure would like to need, but maybe it's a need that you can't meet. Maybe you'd think, boy, I just wish there's some things that could just be changed in that person's life. Or maybe I see someone that you see them and they're going the wrong direction in their life. And you wish, I just wish I could snap my finger and just change everything in their life. But we can't do that. But we can intercede in prayer and we can go to the one who has the power to change things. And that's God. At Job chapter 16 and verse number 21. Job 16 and verse 21. I said we must kneel in prayer to intercede for others. Number two, an intercessor is someone who pleads on behalf of another. Number three, an intercessor is someone who goes to the one who has the power to change things. In Job chapter 16 and verse number 21, the Bible says, "Oh, that one might plead for a man with God." Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. You know what? We can think about it in many senses, but can I tell you something? I have some neighbors that they need me to plead to God on their behalf. Do you know that? I have some unsaved neighbors that they need me. I'm supposed to be the Christian on our street. I'm supposed to be the born-again one, the one that knows Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm the one that's supposed to know the gospel and know how they can get to heaven. Listen, they need me to be the neighbor that is praying for them and pleading with God on their behalf. Pleading for them to get saved. Pleading for their salvation. Oh, how we need to do that. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God. Do you know something, wives? Your husband needs you to plead in prayer to God on his behalf. Your husbands, you need to plead in prayer on behalf of your wife. Parents, you need to plead in prayer on behalf of your children. Christians, you need to plead in prayer on behalf of other Christians. Church members, plead in prayer on behalf of your pastor and vice versa. Pastor, plead in prayer on behalf of church members and Christians and so on. We need to be pleading in prayer to the one who has the power. We maybe don't always have the power to just change things in a person's life, but God does. And if God has the power and God can change things, then let's plead with Him. Let's plead with Him in prayer for God to change things. An intercessor is going to go before God in prayer for other people. And that's what we must do. That's what we must do. We must intercede in prayer, plead in prayer on behalf of other people. I say this, number four, the closer a person gets to God, the more power they will have to intercede for others. The closer a person gets to God, the more power they will have to intercede for others. You know what God might not do for another person, He might do for you if you prayed and you were close to God and you interceded to God on behalf of another. You know, I think of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, and I think Lot's life was spared, not because of his own righteousness at that particular time, but because of Abraham's prayers. If you know the story, and we're going to talk about it another week, but Lot had moved down into Sodom and Gomorrah and just gotten away from God. His family was not at all living for God. And God told Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was a wicked city. If you know the term Sodom and Gomorrah in the Bible, it was wicked cities were just filled with homosexuality and abominations and just a lot of ungodliness. It was a wicked, wicked city, wicked, wicked people. And here was Lot, a just man, a saved man, down there living in the midst of all this mess. And his family was not living for God. And God told Abraham, I'm going to destroy that city. I'm going to literally send fire and destroy the city and everything in it. And Abraham ended up pleading with God in prayer. Oh, please, if I can find so many righteous men in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you not destroy it? And God said, okay. Okay. Abraham thought about it and I don't think I can find that many righteous men. And so he pleaded again and pleaded and continually made less numbers. And God, the Bible says that God agreed to Abraham's prayers. That God almost changed his mind somewhat. That, okay, if you'll find that many righteous men, then I will. I'll answer your prayers and I'll spare the city. But it goes down and less, and he couldn't find that many righteous men. But you know what? God allowed Abraham to go in and to warn Lot, and Lot was allowed to escape. And sadly, not all of his family escaped, and it's sad and it's tragic and so on. But you know what? I think that Lot's life was spared, not because he deserved it, but because Abraham was praying. But because Abraham was praying, Abraham was pleading with God on Lot's behalf. Abraham was interceding in prayer on behalf of Lot. Listen, people's lives can be changed by an intercessor. A wayward Christian, a prodigal child, a backslidden believer can be helped by the intercessory prayers of a believer. We must believe that. We need to believe it. And we need to believe it enough to practice it. Because every one of us know right now people that are not living for the Lord. We know family. We know relatives. We know other Christians. We know people that should be in church tonight that are not here anymore because they are not living for the Lord. They're not living for the Lord. And they need someone to intercede for them in prayer. God may give that person better than they deserve if someone starts praying for them. If someone will seriously plead with God in prayer for that other person. People can be helped. People can be encouraged and strengthened. And God can change and make a difference in someone's life because of the intercessory prayers of another. People can be healed. People can be brought back to God. People can be saved. Think about it. Lost neighbors could get saved if we would intercede for them in prayer. That God would change their heart, that they would change, that somehow the gospel would be given to them and they would open to it. People can be protected from harm, protected from judgment. People can be given a second chance if they have someone interceding for them in prayer. Look with me to the New Testament. We're going to look at several verses together. We should intercede in prayer for other believers. The closer a person gets to God, the more power they'll have to intercede for others. Let's make sure we're close to God. Abraham had power with God, didn't he? That literally, if you read the story in the book of Genesis, God was willing to change his mind just to answer the prayers of a godly, faithful man named Abraham. That's incredible to think about. But God was saying, I'm ready to judge, but okay, Abraham. The prayers of Abraham were making a difference. Oh, that God would help us to be godly people, close to God, that God would want to answer our prayers in that same way. We need to intercede. We should intercede in prayer for other believers. Luke 22 and verse 32. We're going to talk about several different people that we should be interceding for. Luke 22 and verse 32. It says, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not." Go back to even verse 31, so you see the context of the Lord said, "Simon, Simon," talking to Peter. Remember his name was Simon Peter, actually. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you out as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now this, of course, was Jesus, but listen, that's our example still of someone praying for a believer. And how we ought to do that. Jesus knew that. Listen, the devil's out to get you. Satan wants to have your life. Satan would like to sift you as wheat. Satan would like to get you. And may I say, Satan's out to get every one of us. The devil wants to keep us from living for Him. The devil wants to keep us from leading our families to live for God. And we need to pray for one another. Jesus even said to Peter, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." And we need to pray for other believers. Plead in prayer for other believers. Pray for our Christian friends. Pray for those we go to church with. They may be carrying burdens that you know about, or they may be carrying burdens that you don't know about. They may be weary. They may be discouraged. They may be considering quitting. Their faith may be weakened. And they may be close to failing, like Jesus said to Peter. And we need to pray for one another. Satan and his host of demons are busy working to destroy the faith of Christians. To make them quit, to destroy their marriages and homes. Satan is always working to try to keep Christians from doing the will of God. And we need to pray for one another. We need to intercede for other believers in prayer. Intercede for other believers. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Oh, the devil's a real enemy, isn't he? 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us he goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That doesn't sound nice. The devil's an enemy. He's a lion. So he's seeking for his prey. He's seeking for those whom he can devour. And it says in Peter, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Listen, the devil's out to get. And we're going to have to resist him. And we need to be praying for another one another that we would have the strength to resist the devil. That we would have the strength to resist the enemy in our lives. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6 there in verse number 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Oh, how we must do that and put on the whole armor of God that may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Listen, Paul tells us, boy, that enemy's real, the devil's real, and we're going to need to stand against him. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against a very powerful enemy, a strong enemy. And we need to have the power of God. And yes, we need the strength of the Lord. And we need on the armor of God in our life. But notice down in verse number 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Boy, that must be important. If Paul talks about how we're going to have to stand against the enemy, stand against the devil, and put on the armor of God. But then he says, praying always. Praying always. Listen, we need to be praying for one another. Persevering in prayer. Persevering in supplication. Persevering in interceding for the saints. Praying for one another. Going to our knees and praying, God, please help them. I think the enemy, and I know the enemy, is out to get them. I know the enemy is seeking whom he may devour. And God, help us to intercede for one another in prayer. We need to intercede in prayer for other believers because the enemy is real and the enemy is powerful. He has so many tricks and so many deceptive ways to destroy and hurt and hinder Christians. And we desperately need to intercede for other believers in prayer. Turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We need to intercede for other believers. And boy, I hope you'll think on that and think on that and think on that and think on that. And it'll help us to pray more and more and more for one another. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We also need to pray for our government leaders. We need to pray for those in authority. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know what God's Word tells us there? Pray for those in authority. Pray for the kings. Pray for our prime minister and pray for our premier and pray for our mayor. We can look and think, boy, the condition is awful. Oh, I wish we could have some different mayors. I wish we could have a different premier. I wish sometimes it could be different. It doesn't matter who we got. Who we got is the one that's in authority right now. And we desperately need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. That God would save them. That God would change their heart. That God would change their life. Intercede for them. For God to work in their life and to work in their family's life. God is the only one that can make a difference. And we need to intercede in prayer. We're to pray for them. I don't think the Bible commands us to criticize them or to attack them or to always complain about them, but the Bible does tell us to pray for them. Pray for them. If we're having trouble getting along with the authorities in our life, you know what the Bible says to do in those verses? Pray for them. We're to pray for all that are in authority, right? The Bible says that we may be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life. Boy, that we can have peace between us and our authority. That we can have harmony and just an okay relationship between us and our authority. Well, what if it's a person at school? What if it's our parents? What if it's the boss at work? What if it's whoever? We're having a little tension. We're having a little problem. But you know what God tells us to do? Pray for them. Pray for the ones in authority. Pray for the ones in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. We need to kneel to intercede for them. We've tended to think, oh, we should just complain about them. We should just complain about the authorities. Complain about everybody that we got problems with. No, God says pray for them. God's ways are so anti our way. We're supposed to pray for them. Pray for them. Intercede for them. Pray for your boss. Pray for your manager. Pray for your pastor. You probably don't like him. So pray for him. Pray for him. Children, you know what? You can pray for your parents. They're your authority and you can pray for them. Pray for mom and dad. Church members, pray for your pastor. Wives, pray for your husband. Students, pray for your teacher. We should intercede in prayer. We should intercede in prayer for our leaders and all that are in authority. We should intercede in prayer for our pastor. We should intercede in prayer for spiritual leaders. So we already read in Ephesians 6 where Paul says, you pray for all the saints. Pray for all the saints. He goes on in the next verse and he directly asks them, would you pray for me? Pray for me. Paul says, pray for all the saints. And then he goes on and says, pray for me. Pray for me. Listen, pray. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your pastor. Satan will attack your pastor. Pray for him. Pray for me. Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews 13. We don't like sometimes when the pastors read these verses, but it's what Paul wrote in the Word of God. And Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you." Back in verse 7, he talks about remembering them and following. Remember those that speak to you the Word of God, whose faith follow, and so on. Verse 17, he says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Verse 18, pray for us. Pray for us. Paul says, I want you to pray for us. Pray for us. Pray for us as one of their spiritual leaders. Pray for us, he says. Pray for your pastor. It's a great responsibility to minister the Word of God to people. There are great burdens and pressures as well. And just pray for your pastor. We should also intercede in prayer for our missionaries. Romans chapter number 15 and verse number 30. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, the Bible says this: "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Strive together with me. He says you're striving together when you do that. I mean, we're actually in this thing together. We're working together. We're fighting the battle together. We're serving the Lord together. When you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. So it's important. Listen, let's intercede in prayer for one another. Intercede in prayer for believers. Intercede in prayer for your pastor. Intercede in prayer for our missionaries. They need us praying for them. It's a blessing to them and encouragement to them. You might think, well, they never hear the prayers. Well, that doesn't matter. It's God that hears the prayers, and He's the one that has the power. And they don't need to hear the prayers. God needs to hear the prayers. We need to pray. Pray for our missionaries. Our missionaries face great battles. They face many tests. They face many discouragement. Many discouragements and so on. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. I guarantee you that if we could call up the missionaries tonight, they'd all tell you we need you to be praying for us. Prayer has made a difference. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2 says this: "Finally, brethren, pray for us. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Even there, the Apostle Paul gives some prayer requests to the church of Thessalonica. To him, as a missionary church planner at that time and so on, he says, "Boy, you pray for us. We've seen God do some great things. And boy, that church in Thessalonica, you're a strong church now and some strong believers. But in some other cities where we're going to preach the gospel, boy, there's some people there that are just so hard. There are some people that just seemingly that they're rejecting Christ, they're rejecting the gospel. They don't want to hear it." And he says, "Brethren, please pray for us. Pray that the Word of God would have free course. Pray, intercede for us in prayer. And pray that the gospel would make a difference in the hearts and lives of people." You know, we need to intercede for our missionaries in the same way. We may think that, well, some of them serve in countries that are a bit more receptive. Some of them serve in very hard countries. I think of people like Paul and Joel Isaac that have been in a nation like Poland. Listen, if not for God strengthening them and God encouraging them, missionaries there would quit a long time ago. There are some countries that are incredibly hard. We might sometimes think, well, this is hard. There's some things hard around here. But boy, Poland is a hard, hard country. Hard country. Thank God for those few people and those Filipino ladies and others that maybe God has sent His way to encourage him. You know what? God has maybe done that in answer to the prayers of some Christians that said, boy, help them not to quit there. Help them not to be discouraged. Help them to keep on going. Help them, Lord, to know that they are successful just by being faithful in that place and preaching the gospel. They may never reach thousands of Polish people, but God, would you strengthen them and encourage them? Listen, God may have done some things for them and for their spirit and to encourage them just in answer to the prayers of some Christians, some believers praying for them. Listen, intercede in prayer for our missionaries. Praying that the Word of God would go forth. And also, he says, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Boy, we can think of missionaries in some countries that, boy, they may face a lot just of opposition. I mean, not just resistance to the gospel, but I mean being opposed. There are some countries where our missionaries are, where the Catholic Church and so on has such a stronghold in the lives of those cultures where, boy, they face opposition from the Catholic Church. They face hatred. They face persecution. Sometimes I think of the Larisas in Haiti, and they face opposition from a lot of people in that country. A country where Voodooism and many things were strong, and Spiritism and so on. Listen, the enemy is going to attack. There'll be many enemies, many wicked men. And oh, how we need to pray for our missionaries. Intercede for them in prayer. Intercede for them in prayer. They need us praying for them. When my wife and I, when we went to churches, and before coming here, we went to a church in Beaver Dams, New York, and I've told some of you before about a lady there by the name of Ruby Hall. Ruby Hall. And that lady, she would read the prayer letters that we would send out, and she still does to this day. There's still a few churches and some that are still supporting our ministry, and you know that. But we also, this lady has always written us, and so we've always sent her a note too. And most churches, we send everything by email now, but just about 8-10 people left. And some of them are just some grandmas and people like that. And this Ruby Hall's, how old is she, would you think she'd be now? About 80-year-old. She's getting up there. She's probably over 80 years old. She's a sweet, faithful lady in her church in New York. And a Sunday school teacher, and goes soul winning every week with her church. She's an incredible lady. But you know what? This lady prays for her pastor, and prays for her church, and prays for their missionaries. And every month, Ruby Hall sends us a letter and says, I'm praying for you. And she talks about different things. I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for this. And you know what? I believe it with Ruby Hall. I believe it. And her letters are so unique and real, and just as you can imagine her sitting there at their table, kitchen table, writing that note. And she'll talk about things she's done in her prayers. And listen, I guarantee you, missionaries are encouraged when Ruby Hall is praying for them. And she prays for a lot of missionaries and a lot of church planters and so on. Listen, we need to be like that. There needs to be more Ruby Halls. There needs to be more Christians that will intercede in prayer on behalf of their missionaries. And boy, she'll pray for things by name. She'll write down prayer requests from my letters, and she'll begin to pray for those things over and over, day after day, in her prayer journal. She's an incredible lady. And she might ask us, you know, is there an answer to this prayer yet, or what's going on? She's a faithful lady interceding in prayer. And oh, how we need more people to be like that. Intercede for our missionaries. Pray for them. And even let them know that you're praying for them. The Apostle Paul did that. He began to pray for other believers, pray for other Christians. And in his letters to them, he said, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Let's do that for our missionaries. Let's intercede for them in prayer. We maybe sometimes think, I can't do all of it. The missionaries, they've got a lot of needs, and they've got a lot of problems and a lot of concerns, and I can't do anything about that. Well, you can pray. You can pray. We maybe could think, boy, this missionary is such a need, and boy, our church can't meet that need right now, but we better pray. We can intercede for them in prayer. We need to be interceding in prayer for our missionaries. Pray for them. Pray for them. We need to intercede in prayer for our converts. We need to intercede in prayer for new Christians. In Philippians chapter number 1. Let's look there together. Philippians chapter 1 and verses 3 to 6. Philippians chapter 1 verses 3 to 6. You got your Bible? Philippians 1 verse 3 to 6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what the Apostle Paul said in this letter to the Christians at the Church of Philippi? Boy, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you. And I'm confident that God, who began a good work in your life and He saved you, I believe He's going to complete it. I believe He's going to finish it. And I'm praying that you'll let God do in your heart and keep doing in your life what God wants you to do. Listen, I'm sure that was a challenge to them and an encouragement to them for Paul to write back to these other Christians and these converts of his and say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for what God wants to do in your life. I'm praying that you'll let God accomplish in your heart and life what He wants to do. And we need to pray for that. Pray like that for a convert. Pray like that for some new Christians. And even let them know that you're praying for them. Pray for God's will to be accomplished. Pray for them to be fruitful. Pray for them to grow. Pray for them to overcome doubts. Pray for them to build their lives on the Word of God. Pray for them to withstand the attacks of Satan in their life. Ephesians chapter 1 as well. Paul says, I'm praying. And I'm praying for them. Ephesians 1:15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love in all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Have the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of His glory, of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Colossians chapter number 1. Right there will be just a few pages away. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. The Apostle Paul says to the church at Colossae and to those Christians, listen, I've been praying for you. I've been interceding in prayer for you. And this is what I've been praying. And this is what I've been asking God to do. I've been pleading with God on your behalf, asking God to do this. Listen, Paul was an intercessor. And may God help us to be intercessors for others. May God help us to intercede. We should pray for those that are new Christians. We should intercede in prayer for those that are under our spiritual leadership. In 1 Samuel chapter number 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 23. The Bible says this. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way. He said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. You know what it was? It was the leader saying, I'm praying for those under my authority or under my leadership. You know what? God, help us to pray for those that are under us. Husbands should pray for their wife and children. Moms and dads should pray for their kids and pray for their family. Pastors should pray for their church members. Sunday school teachers should pray for those in their class. Bosses at work should pray for their employees. Leaders should pray for those who serve under them. Teachers should pray for their students. Listen, all of us should pray for those that may be under our influence or under our leadership. He said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in not praying for you. May God help us to intercede in prayer, not just for those over us, but also for those that are under us. Let's intercede in prayer for our families and intercede in prayer for those who we can influence for the cause of Christ. Let's intercede in prayer for our nation. Let's intercede in prayer for our nation. Oh, how our nation needs us to pray for revival and pray for God to change the nation and change the hearts. An intercessor is someone who will kneel in prayer and seek God's face. And intercede for the nation, intercede for the people. We need to also intercede in prayer for lost and unsaved people around us. Why not begin to pray for your neighbors by name? Pray for your co-workers by name. Pray for your unsaved relatives. Pray for the lost in our community. Listen, they need someone praying for them. Let's intercede for them. Let's pray for them. And let's take them the gospel as well. You know, an intercessor actually does two things. They go to God on behalf of people, and then they also go to people on behalf of God. And we can do that for lost and unsaved people. We can go to God and plead in prayer to God that God would save them, and that God would change their heart, and that God would change their life. But then you know what else we better do? Go to them with the gospel. Go to God in prayer and plead with God on their behalf. God, please save my neighbors. We better intercede in prayer for lost and unsaved people.
around us. Oh, we need to be intercessors. We need to kneel and intercede. We must kneel in prayer to intercede for others. An intercessor is someone who pleads on behalf of another. An intercessor is someone who goes to the one who has the power to change things. He said the closer a person gets to God, the more power they'll have to intercede for others. The more a person kneels, the more power is available to change the life or situation of others. Think about it. We might not have the ability to change. We might beg and plead and wish, God, would you change this? Would you change this situation? Would you change this person's heart? Would you make a difference in this situation? And we don't have the power to change things, but God does. If we want the power to change that situation, you know what we better do? Kneel more. Kneel more. Because if we kneel to the one who has the power, he can change things. The more a person kneels, the more power is available to change the life or the situation of others. The intercessor understands that God's power is needed. And that is why they kneel to pray and to intercede for others. The power to change things is not ours. It is God's. Therefore, we must kneel to pray. The power to change things is not ours. It's God's. God's the only one with the power to change things. Therefore, we must kneel to pray. We must kneel to pray. We must kneel to intercede. We must kneel and become intercessors. You know what it is. I don't have to spell it out too much. Some of you know there's people close to you or people around you that are desperately needing you to intercede in prayer on their behalf. Let's become intercessors for the sake of others.